Welcome, dear friends. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's turn to God as we open with a word of prayer. Loving God, as we gather this day, we pray that you would help us to lay down our burdens, that you'd help us to let go of all that is distracting us, all that is holding us back from your purpose, all that is separating us from you and from each other. Open us mind, body, and soul to all your good gifts, and help us to hear you and see you in new ways. Help us to genuinely trust in you and be fed by your holy word and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now, let's welcome Nathan Drake.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
We know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they'll be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven, God-made, not handmade, and we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move, and so we cry out in frustration. Compared to what's coming, living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfurnished shack. And we're tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing, our true home, our resurrection bodies. The Spirit of God whets our appetite by giving us a taste of what's ahead. He puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we'll never settle for less. And that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see us drooping our heads or dragging our feet. Cramped conditions here don't get us down. They only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in, but don't yet see, that keeps us going. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks in the path are going to stop us? When the time comes, we'll be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. But neither exile nor homecoming is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do, regardless of our conditions. Sooner or later, we'll all have to face God, regardless of our conditions. We'll appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a result of our actions, either good or bad. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. A while back, apparently, there was an ad in the newspapers in New York City sponsored by the Hayden Planetarium. And it was an invitation for anyone who would like to make the first journey to another planet to submit an application. Well, apparently within a matter of days, over 18,000 people applied. And these applications were then given to a panel of psychologists who, after reviewing them, found that the vast majority of those who'd applied wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were so discouraged by life on this one. Well, I think that especially over after this last year or so, they'd probably get even more applications than that. I mean, so many people today are understandably very discouraged and also have a lot of fear for the future. And I don't know about you, but I can hardly bear to watch the news these days, especially as we hear about these seemingly endless episodes of hate crimes, mass shootings, conflict. There's all the technology issues with cyber crimes, storms, fires, floods. The list goes on, and it can be overwhelming. It's certainly not pretty. Life is definitely messy. And there can be a feeling of helplessness. I mean, with our lives so restricted for so long, there's no question that we can easily get very frustrated. But this morning's scripture reminds us that our time here is brief. And by the grace of God, we thankfully have a taste and assurance of what's ahead. And we must let nothing stop us while we're here. And to do that, well, we need to shift our focus to what's most important. And what's that, you say? Well, as Paul reminds us, cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing. And that's what we aim to do, regardless of our conditions. But now let's be honest. Is that really where our focus tends to be? I mean, our lives are so busy and we all have so many responsibilities, so many tasks that pull us in every direction. And they're mostly important things. I mean, jobs, family, paying our bills, keeping things clean and tidy, getting meals on the table. Huh, the list goes on and on, doesn't it? And yes, we try to get our prayers in and to live as good Christians and all. But how often do we consider that cheerfully pleasing God is to be the main thing in our lives, and regardless of our circumstances? Now, be honest. Is that always your first priority? The question is, I mean, how do we realistically go about putting it into practice? What does that even look like? And how do we know if we're really pleasing God? And if that's not enough pressure, Paul goes on to say that sooner or later, we'll have to face God regardless of our conditions. We'll appear before Christ and take what's coming to us as a result of our actions, either good or bad. No pressure there, right? And that take what's coming to us thing sounds just a little negative, doesn't it? Well, to me, it's all actually a very helpful reminder that we all need to take a step back. We need to recenter and continually rethink our priorities. It reminds me continually of the true starting place for all we do and all we truly are. It takes me back to our catechism and that powerful first question, who am I? And the answer, I am a child of God. And that's me, that's you, that's all of us. We're all children of God. And don't we want to live a life that pleases God? God doesn't want us to settle. God wants us to live and be our very best. Well, it reminds me of a story shared by Peter Drucker, America's management guru, about the time a hospital administrator held his first staff meeting. Well, they worked through a rather difficult matter and the new boss thought it was all settled. Then suddenly one of the staff asked, would this have satisfied Nurse Bryant? Well, the arguments immediately started all over again and they didn't stop until a better solution to the problem was finally hammered out. And who was this nurse, Brian? Well, the administrator soon found out she'd been a long-serving nurse in the hospital. And whenever a decision regarding patient care came up, Nurse Brian would ask, "Are we doing the best we can to help this patient?" Well, as a result of her conscientious concern, patients on her floor did better and recovered faster. And gradually, as time went by, the whole hospital learned to adopt what became known as Nurse Brian's rule. Though she retired 10 years earlier, the standard she'd set was still providing vision for employees in the hospital even today. And her secret? She took every aspect of hospital work back to the central question: what can we do to best do our job as a hospital? Well, as followers of Christ, we all do want to give our best. That's a given. No one's denying the importance and necessity of so much of what we do and what keeps us so busy. But Paul reminds us of our true purpose and where it all has to start. And that's with a true commitment to pleasing God as the number one thing in our lives. That's what keeps us on course. And that's not competing with the other things in our lives. It's the clear place that actually helps us to do those things even better. That's what helps us, empowers us to do our best with everything we do. And that image of one day standing before our Lord, well, as I pray, I imagine standing face to face now asking, "Am I pleasing you, Lord? How can I please you better? What's most important right now? What am I doing right and what needs to change? Tell me now, guide me, so that when I see you on the other side, it will be a cause for celebration." Of course, as King Duncan reminds us, this all requires a genuine trust in God. And some of us have never achieved this basic foundation of being able to trust God, trust ourselves, or trust anything. I mean, something about our genetic makeup or our relations with our parents or perhaps difficult life experiences that we had at an early age, well, they may have left us with a basic sense of mistrust. We may just not trust life in general. And obviously, this makes any kind of relationship very problematic. And how do you develop the sense of trust as an adult? It's difficult. It's not something you can just pick up off a supermarket shelf, you know, but trust can be found in committing to a daily walk with God. That is, we can actually learn to trust by practicing trust. Well, Dr. Lloyd John Ogilvie is a great analogy for this. Apparently, he has a friend who was a high flyer in the circus in his youth, and this friend told Ogilvie that the secret of becoming a successful trapeze artist is overcoming the fear of falling. That sounds pretty obvious, right? But how do you do it? Well, he says, once you know that the net below you will catch you, you stop worrying about falling. You actually learn to fall successfully. He says, what I mean is you can concentrate on catching the trapeze swinging towards you and not on falling, because repeated falls in the past have convinced you that the net is strong and reliable when or if you do fall. The rope in the net hurts only if you stiffen up and resist it. The result of falling and being caught by the net is a mysterious confidence and daring on the trapeze. You fall less, and each fall makes you able to risk more. Do you get that? Trapeze artists develop confidence by falling and discovering the net below them. They actually get hurt less by relaxing and just trusting that net. And do you understand that beneath each of us is an invisible net? I mean, you cannot fall so far that the loving arms of God will not catch you. That's trusting your way through. That's living by faith and not by sight. Well, Ogilvy goes on to say, you live your venture out, you love with all the potential hurt that may involve, and sometimes you fall. But when you do, you discover anew the grace of God. You pick yourself up and you continue your life journey stronger than you were before. My friends, as we've said so many times, this life isn't easy. And even once we get past the pandemic, there will continue to be challenges of every kind. And that's nothing new. Each generation from the beginning of time faces their own challenges. Paul and all the disciples faced challenges of every kind too. But God brought them through it. And God wants to bring us through it too. But for that to happen, we need to commit to taking the time to seek God out. We need to commit to living a life that is genuinely, cheerfully pleasing to God and done out of love. We must never forget, this world is not our home. We're only passing through. But when we get to the other side, my prayer is that we may have lived a life, that we will be greeted with these words of assurance that we have indeed lived a good life. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let us pray. God of all times, places, and people, we come to you on this day with our joys and our sorrows, with confessions, hopes, dreams, and questions. We come to you as we navigate the world full of voices and distractions that would take our eyes off you and your will for us. We come to you because you are a God who hears and welcomes all prayers, even as you're working out your will in ways that we can't always see. So we lift up the prayers you already know are in our hearts, the concerns you know that keep us up at night, the worries, the anxieties that ground us in our need for you. We pray for a wayward world that allows violence and an inequality that breaks your heart, for a nation in need of healing, for mercy and empathy for the ones we do not understand, and for all our church family who are living with challenges of every kind. Forgive us for the many ways we fail you in spite of our good intentions. May we feel your spirit surround, embrace, and encourage us. O living Lord, teach and sustain us as your children and servants, that we may bear witness to your unexpected choices and your wondrous and mysterious ways of working in and through us, ways that we might never imagine. We pray all this in the name of the one who came to show us your love, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, we've come through some very difficult times, and we will deal with other difficult times ahead. But we have a promise that God is always with us. But we need to claim that promise, and we need to commit to spending time seeking God and His will for us, that we might indeed cheerfully please Him. Know that in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven as we make errors and mistakes. And know that God will direct us to a better way. And now may you go in God's love, God's mercy and forgiveness, and God's strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.